Okay, hi guys, how are you doing?
Good evening.
Very well, thanks. Yeah, having a great time.
How long has it been since you two saw each other?
It's been about 5 years, I think.
We saw each other at the show, didn't we? I think we see each other about every 4 years or something at the moment. I've got kids, he's got kids.
Anthony, what are you up to these days?
I'm working with Infograms at the moment, working on the new consoles and just keeping up with the new trends. It's keeping me busy anyway.
So how about you, Ben?
I'm working, doing a lot of internet work and still doing a lot of music work, writing music for theatre and doing a bit of acting and playing myself, having a good time.
So you probably heard that Chris has released these albums back in time, but when he called you up or emailed you and said that there's going to be Commodore 64 disco in Birmingham, what was your first thought?
Oh God, hundreds of geeks. I liked the other two albums he did. Back in Time 1 and 2 were very good, and I thought this was going to be a fun night, be a good chance to catch up with everybody and with some of these people I haven't seen for 15 years or something. It's great, really good.
How about you?
Because I knew that everybody else was coming as well, so I've got to come along to meet all the guys again. So yeah, it's been great fun. I've met Jeff and Rob Hubbard's been here and everything, so it's been brilliant. So I've got a bonus, even so, David Whittaker. I've not seen him in years.
How was that?
It was strange, because it's like we forgot. We didn't realise it, like time had passed. It's like we're back where we left him.
He's David Whittaker again, isn't he? Do you know what I mean?
But isn't it like a school reunion? Like the class of 85 is all here.
Just about, yeah. Well, I mean, it's Rob and Dave are class of 75, weren't they? Because they're a lot older than we are.
Dave's 44 now.
Is it?
Yeah. I know. Well, you're getting on for the big four, aren't you?
No, not quite yet, but
it's only another few, yeah.
But, it's great, it is, yeah, it's acting like a school reunion, yeah.
What does your wife and kids say about all this? Have you played them the tunes?
Some. they know about my past. I don't talk about it too often, but, I think it's strange, you know, because it's not a wife and kids, it's a house and family and domestic thing, and the fact that 15 years ago you were famous is sort of, it doesn't have any impact at all on your family life, you know. Well, the kids don't know.
Does it feel weird to be here and sign autographs and doing interviews and stuff?
To be honest, they probably don't even know what we're doing. I've got girls anyway, my eldest are girls, so it's like they don't want to know about computers anyway. And I've got a 2-year-old son.
Sexist, Rob.
But no, it's not my fault.
This is the girl bit. What about computers? No, they're playing with dolls.
Not even tried. But no, they haven't been interested, so I've not pushed it on them. But I've got a little lad coming up, so he might know about it more.
Get the lad programming away.
Get him trained up.
I've been coding 6502 before he's 6.
My lad's programming at the moment. I've got him. He's been doing some HTML. Been writing his own website and stuff. Yeah, that's great. Yeah. It's great. Feels perfectly natural and feels only justified that we deserve the recognition after all this time. No, it is a bit. After the 10th autograph and the 20th photo, it is. You begin to think, oh, it's not just one or two people. Everybody in this room knows who I am. Very strange.
Yeah. But were you getting a lot of fan mails in the past?
I get 3 or 4 mails a week still from people who've just discovered my website and gone, right, I remember you, and send me a mail saying, yes, I still listen to The Last Ninja in the car every day or something. Yeah, you know that it's there. You know that people are still listening to the music and playing the games, and people still remember the name and stuff, you know. And you meet people once every 2 or 3 months that will have, oh yeah, I remember you from the thing. But walking into a whole lion's den full of fans, isn't it? A little bit bizarre. Yes.
Have you heard much of the stuff that's on the internet? The covers of your tunes or the remixes?
Some of them. I've listened to a couple of the. I mean, there's about 2,500 dance remixes of Last Ninja. I've listened to 2,500 of them. it's great that people want to take it and remix it, and you know, I've been saying throughout tonight when people have been asking about the music what it is, and I mean, you know, I've said about this that the strength of the melody lines and the strength of the actual music itself you know, if you forget the arrangement and you just look at it as being a pure abstract bit of tune, there's a lot of really good, you know, there's a lot of good stuff happening then. And there's a lot of sort of what would have been sophisticated music if there had been the tools to do it, you know. And it's nice to hear people taking like the, you know, taking the original melody line and turning it into something that 15 years ago you could have only imagined what it was going to be like. You know, it's the same with this album. It's really nice to hear the trap thing, which I always imagined as an orchestral piece, being done by an orchestra. It's great.
Are you satisfied with the result on trap on the new Back in Time CD? Oh,
I'm never satisfied. No, it was good actually. I mean, I started off. Sort of, I gave Chris some musical notes, as it were, on sort of how I thought an arrangement would go. He extended it. He did a lot, and then passed it back up to me, and sort of I added a few comments and things. But no, he did a bloody good job, actually. Yeah, it's very nice. Yeah, I'm impressed. I like it.
Apart from that, I obviously dig the Commodore 64. Was it special for you in any way, or was it just another computer to program on?
Well, for me, it's my first, so it's like...
You always remember your first.
Yeah,
really,
it's really
yes. So it's like...
Well, 20 was actually...
No, because it was really the first time that I'd produced software that was being sold. So prior to that, it was just me experimenting. Like, this was the first time I could produce something, that I can actually write software and make a living out of it. So for me, it was like a big sort of footing for what I'm still doing now. So for me, I'll never forget for that reason. But then again, I'd never go back and start working on it again. So it's difficult to say. I've moved up now, gone beyond that, I think.
Exactly the same. I mean, it's... I wouldn't have been able to make my living for a long time as a full-time composer had it not been for doing the computer stuff first. I'm doing computer game music, I learned how to write music. You know, you force it, you know, you learn the disciplines, you work within the parameters that you've got, and you learn how to arrange. And it was, yeah, it is. It was your, you know, it was the first instrument, as it were, that I did lots of commercial music on. So it's like anybody's first instrument. You know, it's the one you sort of always, yeah, remember and love. But no, I don't play anymore. Might occasionally get it out once a year and go, oh God, yes.
C4, D4, C6. No. Oh, that's right. Wasn't there a funny command here that did this? Where's the button?
Must have taken a lot of time.
Some of it, yeah. Yeah, some of it. I mean, Tony wrote my player, and he wrote it sort of... We evolved it pretty much to my specification. So, like, we worked it. What would be the easiest way of me writing music and getting it down? Especially, like, trying to write complicated music. You know, what would be the best... sort of like best way of handling, should we have phrases being done as subroutines so that you can keep calling them and mix them, all that kind of thing. And I mean, it wasn't as hard as it could have been, because we worked a lot on getting the player good, kind of thing, so that I could just think of some music, and it would, after the first couple, it became very easy just to, as I was thinking of notes, I was typing them in, you know.
When we were like first started, and it's like Ben was trying to get into the, I said, well, we'll try this, we'll get into the music industry. And we used to like, he used to come round to our house and whatever, we used to go for some beers and whatnot, and then he used to sit and we used to like produce these demos.
Start at 11 or 12, wouldn't we, and finish at 4 in the morning.
And we'd stop all night, and we produced about, I think, 2 CDs, weren't they, a demo, two groups of demos,
yeah,
so
yeah,
like
yeah.
1 to
we
8.
We Music 1 and We Music 2, that's the original, wasn't it?
And I said that's what sort of pushed us forward now, that's what we tried to do. I think we were
4
successful.
O'clock in the morning, white bread, Thousand Island dressing, yeah. Sandwiches.
Yes. Them were days, eh? Yeah. Yeah.
Who came up with the Wee Music name?
That one.
Was it? No, I think it was me, because I thought of the make use of sound in computers bit. I'm sure I thought of the acronym. Oh, I'm sure that was me being a clever bastard kind of, hey, look, we can get music, make use of sound in computers. I mean, yeah, it was one of those, it's like when you ask a band, isn't it, whoever thought of the name, and everybody goes, I think it was The Fish, actually. Yeah, or something. I think, yeah, we were looking at stuff, and I think I might have come up with make use of sound in computers, and then Tony said, well, Wee Music, Wee Make, and, you know.
You did quite a lot of stuff together. You met at school.
Yes.
So what happened in the end? You split up, because, was it because you left for Gremlin, or?
Yeah, Gremlin basically offered me a, I mean, we were, because the thing is that, I mean, I mean, I was sort of writing most of the music. I mean, Tony wrote all the players and stuff, but sort of after a while, like once we got the players and once it, you know, I sort of turned into a bit of a factory, just typing things into this player and churning them out, you know. And it got difficult running a business, and Tony was wanting to write games, and I was, yeah, and then Gremlin said to me, here's a studio, here's a salary, here's, you know, here's an office and stuff. So I said, all right. And I mean, it was good for a sort of a year and a half, but then it got to the point, you got salesmen walking around Gremlin that were talking about shipping boxes, and they had no idea what was in the fucking box, you know. At which point I thought, nah, the game industry ain't any fun anymore, you know. So that's when I left and started doing sort of music in the real world, you know, which is preferable. Yeah, I mean, I don't regret doing any of the Commodore stuff at all. And like Tony said, it was you know, it's a great experience, and this, you know, it had an influence as well, which is quite something. You know, it's nice to think you've left a bit of a mark, at least, you know, and to have left a mark and to be able to see it. Do you know what I mean? It's like to be able to come. Only 15 years later. I mean, like, you know, 200 years ago or something. I mean, a composer would only become famous 100 years after they were dying, you know, after they were dead. And it's nice to sort of be, you know, only 34, but wandering around being sort of, you know, being able to look back at stuff. You know what I mean? Being able to say, that's something I did and it worked and people were into it, and that's, you know, nice, neat little package, right? You know, done that and go on and do something else. Don't need to prove yourself or anything, you know. It's nice.
So what did you do when Ben left for Gremlin?
Well, I'm busy anyway, so it's never a problem. As in, I had to find a replacement, but then again, I kept phoning up anyway and said, look, will you do some music on the side? So, and he'd come down to the music anyway, so it was never a problem. If Ben was happy to do it working for Gremlin, that's what he does. We never split up on a rift or anything like that.
No.
It was just like, he went his way, I went his way, but I say, I still keep ringing up, so look, we need some music. If I, not so long ago on the new...
I was looking forward to doing that.
Wacky Races, DC. Yeah. We needed to get some music done really quickly. And it all gone wrong to getting the music organised. So I rang Ben up and we'd almost got you signed up to do it. So
yeah,
I do apologise for
it.
Just
they decided that, not going to invest in whatever it was. PlayStation 2, was it, or something?
No, it's Deep Dreamcast.
Oh, right, so that's right, yes.
It almost worked and he would have been doing the music. So, as I say, we've not split up. So
no, it's
always been there.
Could you even imagine in the 80s what this would turn into?
No. I mean, the whole lot. I mean, it was... What was really good was being in on the ground floor. I mean, at the time, you had no idea that it was going to happen. But at the time, what was really nice is we were working with primitive hardware. The thing about, like, I mean, programming boxes in those days, you needed to know how the bloody box worked. You know, I mean... You know, you could write your first five programs in BASIC, but after that you had to go into ASM and you had to start poking stuff in chips and you had to start, you know, knowing about registers and knowing about how computers work. And that, I think, set our generation up. I think that this particular generation, this kind of the people that just caught the beginning of computers in schools and the beginning of the sort of the micro thing before the whole Windows dominance and you didn't have to know anything about your computer, you know. And there's this whole generation of lads, basically, that have got a very, I think, in-depth knowledge of how computers work, even, you know, now. And I think that's the thing that probably stood us in best stead, you know. I mean, we have no idea now what kind of direction the internet's going to go or something like that, you know. On the other hand, what is nice as well, though, is being able to look at all the internet companies and being able to look at the internet thing. And you can actually compare that pretty much with the games boom of, you know, I mean, in the beginning, there were lots of small independent companies and everybody was doing it out of their bedroom, and then slowly they got swallowed up by the bigger and bigger fish, you know, until basically there's only now, what, five big games companies in the world or something, and that's it, you know. As is going to happen to all the ISPs, as is going to happen to all the, basically, the internet stuff, you know. 3-4 years time, you'll have like Murdoch.net and you'll have BTNet and you'll have, you know, that's it. And I had no idea that 15 years later people would still be listening to beep 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 beep.
Does it sound like that in your ears? What tune is that?
I just made it up.
It's a new one. It's a new one.
Dare sample that or I'll have money off you, Andreas.
Everybody wants to know when Trap Part 2 will be out on the Commodore 64.
chat. I can't. I'm going to keep you in suspense. I'm not going to reply to them.
No, I think it's quite possible that either our children will do it as a homage to their old daddies in 50 years' time.
Well, I think the hackers are actually doing a better job now than the 64 than we probably did. So.
Oh, God, yeah.
They're still doing it.
They're freaks, aren't they? I mean, No, I don't think.
We did it for a commercial reason. That's probably the difference.
Yeah, it was a job.
I don't think there's any commercial now anywhere in 64. No.
But the earlier demos, like Chicken Song and all that, must have been for fun, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That couldn't have gone anywhere if you sent it off.
I think so. I like to think so. I like to think it could become a big international hit.
We thought it was amusing.
I guess Barry thought as well.
Yeah, I'm just glad he's not here. Even 15 years later.
I'll be watching you now. That's how you're blowing.
Yeah, right. Sorry, man. I'm sorry.
So finally, thanks for doing the interview. Do you have any wise words for all your fans out there?
Him first. I'll think of it.
Love one another and rock on. No. Thank you for still listening. I think. On the other hand, I personally would be happier if you listened to some more interesting stuff these days.
I'm glad they're doing CD remixes, which means it's not an insult to go back and listen to it anymore.
Indeed. Yeah.
So if I have to plug in my 64 to listen to music, it's not the same thing. But we do move on. There are better things in life than the 64. So, as I say,
are you sure?
I'm still enjoying it, so I'll say yes there is, and I'm enjoying all the new technologies.
Well, I think it's the same. I mean, it's there are better things in life than the 64 now, but sort of 15 years ago there weren't, I think. I think that was what's nice. Yeah, well, absolutely. And what's nice is to be able to keep on top of the thing, you know. What's nice is, yeah, the best thing around for us and everybody that we knew and we were into was sort of the 64 and stuff like that, and it's been nice to be sort of on top of that scene then and to have progressed. It's nice not to get stuck in the past, and it's nice. I mean, I'm doing internet stuff now. Tony's doing PlayStation and, you know, modern console stuff. And I mean, we're doing what we did 15 years ago, but 15 years later, yeah. and doing it,
not
you know.
With...
yeah.
So,
okay. Thanks a lot, guys. Been a pleasure. Thanks. This interview was downloaded from c64hq.com. And if you put 3 W's and a dot before that, you can go to our website and download more interviews from the BitLive event.